What up, what up, what up, Salty Universe? What's going on?
Hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. It's Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Timmy Two Times. What do you got for us today, Solly Soul?
Ready? Give you guys the headlines. So ASAP Rocky is now free, thanks to Donald Trump. The rapper was released from Sweden and allowed to go home while he awaits a verdict. So I guess we can all agree Trump is officially the worst racist in history. Right?
Yeah. We'll have a conversation about that at the next meeting.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez this weekend tried to sound intelligent again. But instead,
that's the show, ladies and gentlemen.
She basically justified Hamas terrorism, stating that the Palestinians have no other choice but to riot.
Oh.
Oy vey. Oh. By the way, did you guys hear two of her staffers have decided to call it quits after weeks of the Democratic infighting that they were having? So her spokesman and her chief of staff thanked a junior congresswoman and have decided to bail out on her. I think they might go work for Pelosi, maybe? No, I'm kidding.
Or Trump.
I made that up. Exactly.
They go work for Trump.
All right, next. Hackers have targeted a medical collections agency, and they were able to obtain the data of roughly 20 million patients, including those who'd use LabCorp and Quest Diagnostics. I've used them.
Yep, we have.
Their data can now be found in the dark webs. All right, I'm your host, Saul, and this is the Salty Show. So, Heidi, before we get to you, I just want to let our listeners know that Rachel is still part of the show, but due to a series of unfortunate events
involving Nelson.
Nelson broke her.
She had an ankle surgery, and so she's taking some time off to recover. Just want to give her a shout out and let her know. We're hoping for a quick recovery. Get well soon, Rachel.
Ice those cankles.
All right, Heidi. What you got in the crazy coming chronicles?
Got a few things. So
let us know. Tim's right.
I'm trying to spark Tim on something here. Got
the crazy part right.
Rub him right as I get to this one here. Ooh,
I'm a genie in a bottle. Rub me the right way.
Stop it. Rape.
A man claiming to have the world's largest penis has been exposed as average.
Oh dear Lord.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Wait. Explain this.
So he claimed. Where is he making these claims?
All right. So.
And what's average, by the way? Ask it for a friend.
Hashtag.
Like 3 to 5 inches.
Roberto of Saltillo, Mexico, went viral after he posted a video of him measuring his penis, which he claims is the biggest in the world. He claimed in the video that his penis measured 18.9 inches.
Okay, first of all.
So I did hear about this guy, and he does have a huge thing, but...
It's a huge dick.
No, but he did things to it to get it that big.
Oh.
In other words, he had a regular sized penis.
Like plastic surgery.
But he's done... I think this is the one you're talking about. Is there a picture of it?
Yeah, there's a picture of it.
Show Nelson. He wants to see that cock.
Wait, hold on. Oh my God.
Okay, so hold on. So yeah, so he did things to it to get it that big.
Why is it red, white, and brown?
I don't understand.
No, he's got a sock.
He wrapped it.
He's got a sock wrapped. Okay.
And a rubber band tied around it to get the blood flowing.
Permanently.
He was hoping to be recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records.
No, because it's not natural. He did it himself.
Did he inject oil into it or something?
I don't know what he's doing.
He claimed that he had to keep his almost arm-length penis constantly under wraps to avoid chafing, and that he had to register it as a
disability?
that he had to register as disabled due to the size. He claims the size left him unable to have sex, and he had regular infections.
The penis tower.
So he was doing things to...
So, okay, that makes sense, because I know every girl says they want a big dick, but 18 and a half inches, I don't think any vagina can take that.
Well, so Dr. Pablo.
So let me ask you a question. Can a vagina take an 18 and a half dick?
Not mine, no. Ew. Holy cow.
Jeremy?
Mine won't take it either.
Hey, Nelson, can your ass take an 18 and a half inch dick?
You would want to know.
Oh, my God.
Oof.
Well, the radiologist that examined it said that it is just above average length, slightly above average length.
What do they say?
They say 18 inches is average
18.9.
For-
it's not 18.9. It says, my first impression was that it was a unique and unusual case. I had never seen a patient like Roberto. However, when Cabrera refused to take the bandages off of his penis so that the doctor could perform an examination, he began to question him. They did do a CT scan, and it did reveal that there was nothing.
He was faking it.
Large. Yes. Oh.
No. He does have something there, but I think it's swollen.
Yeah,
he's beat
doing
it up.
Something to it. Too. Yeah,
he's got incredible.
But it doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like it's.
It probably doesn't stay that
he
way.
He broke
long.
It.
Well, it says here that the penis itself is about 16 to 18 centimeters.
Oh, wow. That's gonna say there's a metric pubis. System translation.
So
issue there.
Yes, yeah.
It's a big, Jesus. Wide dick.
Sorry. Yeah. You do not have the largest penis in the world.
It's a big circumference.
Okay. So
that is actual footage of him
preparing. Uh-oh. We lost somebody.
That might have been... That was perfect.
Really.
Because that was the noise I could hear making too while he's beating up his meat.
It seriously does.
Oh, here we go. So anyways, I do remember years ago on the Chelsea Handler show. Chelsea Handler?
Yeah.
She actually had the guy on that actually held the record at the time.
They've lost it.
Okay. I can't, because she's dying. And okay. I live when people live. You're going to have a heart attack.
Okay.
So what were you saying? You saw something?
So basically one of the comedians comes out with those, you know, those big sausages, right? They're about yay long, about, you know, the about the size of your fist in diameter. And she comes out and she's like chewing on the end of it, right? And she's like, this is the size of this man's penis. And you're like, what? But apparently he went through the records and everything, and he held the world record.
Oh, he does. Penis. Okay, so it's official. His is official.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So were you laughing because you walked in on Connor making that noise while he was jerking it?
No, that was just...
or was that really...
Kyle,
did you record yourself
Kyle,
jerking it the other night?
That was an excellent timing, Kyle. That was special.
No, when he walks in, it's more of a... sorry. Go ahead. What else you got?
Yeah. That's
right.
A good one, by the way.
Yes. So, man arrested in Spain had cocaine under his toupee.
Oh, no.
Police said
he's like,
man attracted their attention because he looked nervous and had
white stuff come out from under.
He
got a lot of dandruff.
Large hairpiece under
his
hat.
I almost just spit my coffee out. That was a good one.
He had dandruff all over his shoulders.
Yeah.
He's sniffing. Fucking dogs are humping him and shit. Jesus.
I like how you know you're putting it in your gums.
Hey, you know.
Jesus.
Anyway, that was pretty good. So what happened? Did he just get arrested?
So it says a Colombian man was detained at Barcelona's international airport after half a kilo of cocaine was found hidden under an oversized toupee.
Goddamn. Tony Montana's, man. Yeah. They're getting, he's trying to Tony Montana.
I mean, yeah.
Why'd they put the blindfold on his face?
Because apparently we're going to conceal and protect his identity.
Yeah, I mean.
So
they're like, sir, we're going to have to, though, because, you know, he's got a big old.
Yeah, and it probably fell off.
Yeah.
And sir, they're like, sir, can you come over to the side first, please?
No.
He freaks out. Toupee comes off.
Shut up. You're a dick.
I'm assuming this was.
Toupee comes off. He's like, oh, God.
I was at the airport. They
it was. Yeah.
So how much you want to bet? I'm willing to put money on this that they did the thing where they keister it, right? They put it in their butt. And I bet on the flight. I bet on the flight it came out. And he's like, what the hell do I do with it?
Right.
And he put it under his toupee.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think he went right for the toupee.
That's a big
he got
old
on the airplane looking like that.
That's a big old thing to put in your butt.
He didn't
right
go
there.
Through U.S. Airports. He went through Colombia.
He was wearing a hat.
When he got on the plane, he was wearing a hat.
He looked nervous and disproportionately large hairpiece under his hat.
Jesus Christ. People are dumb.
I'm still
public service announcement, guys. put the cocaine up your ass, not you know what I mean, and then shit it out when you get on the plane. Okay, don't put it on the
again. Something you know very much about. Okay, call Tim. Yeah. Call Tim.
You are coming across as kind of an expert on these things.
You know, I know a little bit about drugs.
Okay, so ready? Another one.
Mm-hmm. Next, okay.
Woman suffers severe burns after phone charger zaps her necklace.
Wait, what?
So she apparently put the phone with the charger on it under her pillow, and it sent an electric charge and got her necklace. It actually really did some damage.
I wonder if it's one of those
neck.
You know those phones where you can put your phone on top of the other phone and it'll charge it. That is that a new Samsung thing?
Yeah.
They're advertising.
I think this was just a freak occurrence.
I don't know.
She probably was using the wrong charger.
It does say it was an off-brand charger, and that they do pose safety risks.
She probably had a vibrator next to her too.
She didn't read the, you know,
had a vibrator.
This is compatible with.
Yeah. Secondary burns. And like the, I don't know why they're not here now, but the pictures of her neck really did look pretty nasty.
Oh, yeah. If it gets hot.
I know somebody else who does that, sticks his phone on the pillow next to him.
Well, I leave mine on my bed.
Do you?
Yeah, just in case.
Oh, my God, I don't.
No, because I don't.
Too many stories.
No, I don't. The only reason why I do it is because.
He watches porn with it.
No, no, I actually remember. I got that good memory.
Oh,
right? I got the spank.
That's right.
But no, I do it because if somebody calls me in the middle of the night, I will sleep through it. Right. So I'm always on call now. Right.
Yeah.
So if my phone goes off, I will sleep right through it. You know, if
he's like, who is it? Come
no,
in.
I heard it. I mean, I knew what it was.
No, I'm just saying, like, when you were masturbating.
Who is it?
You put your phone down.
Who is it? Be like, I don't stop. I'm gonna have the world's biggest penis soon. From beating it up.
Yeah,
but seriously, I leave it on my bed for that reason.
He won't show it though. He won't show it.
Oh no.
No. Guinness World Record. Wrap it in a sock.
Wrap it in a sock.
Goofy.
Like the rest of them.
I'm ashamed.
Ringing.
That is a great show, by the way.
All right.
Anyway.
All right. So anything else, Heidi?
So an Ohio man allegedly uses a demand note with his full name and address on it to rob a bank.
That's stupid.
Oh, wow.
Some of these things take
so he said,
people.
My name is Tim.
So Michael Harrell, 54 years old.
54, okay.
Allegedly tried ordering a teller to hand over the cash from the U.S. bank location in Cleveland. Monday morning, according to the FBI.
How well did that work out?
Why would he give his name?
So, do you remember years ago when you were in school?
Yeah.
And they taught you how to write like a business
a memo.
A business memo or a business letter.
Yeah.
You always put the person you're putting it to and your name and address on it.
Yeah.
And then you start out, you know, dear ma'am or sir, blah, 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 sincerely, blah, blah, blah.
Stage
one, he took that a little too seriously.
Yeah. Stage one thinking, he's like, I got the best bank robbery. And then he didn't think this
was. So speaking of great stories, so outside of the crazy chronicles here, we have a real life crazy chronicle story that me and Jeremy
witnessed
today.
We'll do that when she's done.
Are you done?
Okay.
wait.
I don't know. Now
Tim?
I want to know. Jesus.
No. Seriously, this is better than any story we're going
to
talk about.
I'm gonna bring in the one for you. This is for you. Boy chooses to wear "I will be your friend" shirt on the first day of elementary school. Okay, there you go. All right. Now go ahead, Tim.
Tim's done with the conversation.
Yeah, I'm over this. Okay, go I got ahead. My ADD yeah, kicked in. So
mentally checked out.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
No. So me and Jeremy.
Heidi's cut out.
So the craziest shit happened today. So me and Jeremy were driving to training this morning, right?
Going downtown,
We're going down I-17 and... As we're hitting right between, like, I think it's Camelback.
Yeah, Camelback and Indian School.
Yeah, Camelback and Indian School, right at the bridge. And we look up and we see, like, oh, shit, something's going on over there. All sirens and cop cars on the bridge and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, all right. And as we're looking up, Jeremy's like, holy shit. Dude, there was a jumper on. there was a jumper.
You guys stopped.
No.
We could. And we were doing 65.
Yeah, but the dude was literally on the other, on top of the sign that said Camelback. And they're trying to...
Was there any cops there?
Yeah. That's what caught our attention. And then you see this little dude. The guy literally looked like a little Pepe. You know what I mean? And... He was a tiny guy, man. And
what was he doing?
He wanted to kill himself.
He was staring down at the freeway. He looked like I'm depressed and I'm going to jump. And
really?
I was like,
they actually. So we just missed the highway getting closed down because they did close down the highway.
Yeah, right. We blew through it. Like
it was drug related.
I don't know. They didn't really disclose much of the story.
Here we go. Let's see.
They didn't. I didn't research it further, but like, you know, MDOT, you know, their Twitter side said, you know, everybody's got to exit the highway, and the highway's now open, and the cops saved the kid. He didn't jump.
They did.
That would have been. I would have been really crazy if we would have seen him jump like as we were passing.
Dude, he would have. We were in the. We were like two lanes over, so if he had jumped, we wouldn't have hit him. But,
no,
man,
but somebody would have served
that
right into.
Would have hit him. How you'd be like.
Well, what about watching it? Like, what? Like, as we're going underneath, and he would have jumped. Like, that's a vision. We would have watched somebody.
I would have pulled over and held up a sign. You know, 9.0.
No, you wouldn't.
9.3.
No, you wouldn't. Have.
Yes, I would.
Oh my god,
I would. I don't. Ugh.
Belly
just,
flop.
Just think,
belly
Jeremy. Flop. Well, hold on. Jeremy just, stops and he's like, "No, hold on.
You did it. Like, you did it wrong. Damn it.
Yeah."
Wow. But yeah, dude. So
wrong.
Out of the,
wrong.
What?
Wrong. Hater.
No. What? Just think of how many people's mornings he destroyed by shutting down the freeway.
Wrong.
Yeah. Not ours. We got past it.
It's a cry for extension. That's what it was.
Right. And his cry for attention cost how many people? How much? Right.
I mean, there was a lot of cops on there. Right, so you have the cops.
How old would you say the guy was?
He looked 20. Older.
Really?
I think he was older, dude.
30?
You think so?
Millennial?
He either was 20 or 50.
No, what the? Yeah. That's a big...
No, because it just... He looked young, but as the picture that looked on the thing, it looked a little older.
I feel like that may have been somebody who was sheltered all his life, and the second that reality hit him, you know, this is somebody who was in safe spaces
his
whole life.
Yeah, the riddle wore off.
And exactly. And so
well,
now
you know that area. It's not the best area.
Now he's
right?
got to face life, and life is tough. Life throws shit at you, and you got to be prepared for it.
Life
this
does
guy
have
was
options.
Not.
Right. But that area is not a sheltered area. You see some shit right there. You know what I mean? That's, you know.
Homie, I grew up in that area.
Right.
That's Maryvale.
Yeah.
Right. What are the crossroads?
Camelback.
I-17 and Indian School. Yeah. That's not Maryvale. Maryvale's on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a little bit more. It's
spread out, you know?
Oh, yeah,
that whole area is spread out. And, dude, I grew up freaking ghetto birds every night, you know?
You'd
wake
song,
up.
By the way. Ghetto birds. So, anyway, that was our crazy story, not to, you know, take away from Heidi's beautiful stories this week. They were great. I liked them. I'll give them like Siskel and Ebert, like, you know, thumb and a half.
Oh, wow. Why is he like this?
Oh, one thumb.
Because he's 10.
Why is he like this?
Being a dickhead.
Yes.
See,
yes.
I didn't tell you to go fuck yourself. I just said, you know, you did better today. They were funnier.
Yeah.
But that story had to be talked about. That was real life suicide.
All right, Heidi, thank you for those chronicles. I know Tim gets a little picky with them, but I enjoyed them for the most part.
It just shows how much
thank you for doing this work for the show. We appreciate it.
She's the best guest we've ever had.
And one of the only guests we've ever had. Anyway.
So, what do we got? Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Give it to us, man. What's going on?
So this is something new, right? This hasn't been happening
This just came out.
And, by the way, as a side note, I think this is the first time we're actually going to talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
In full detail.
So we broke the record, episode 38. Shit. We're going to talk about Alexandria's wisdom. So go for it.
And it's funny. The picture on the article actually has her in glasses, and she actually looks kind of cute. So I don't want to talk shit about it.
We're out of control.
And there it is, ladies and
gentlemen. Yeah, I'm a secret liberal.
If she told him, Tim, you got to become a liberal and you can get in these pants, Tim would be like,
I'm in.
He'd be like, fuck Trump.
And then after we broke up, he'd be like, I love Trump. I'm not a vegan anymore. Okay. Jesus. All right. That's obnoxious. Anyway.
All right. So what's going on?
So a couple days ago, our favorite, freshman.
Congresswoman.
Mm-hmm. Congressperson, because we don't have genders anymore.
She's got
Congressperson.
No, we still have genders.
Congresswoman maintenance.
Yeah. So apparently AOC says that Palestinians have no choice but to riot, and Americans could do the same. And I was like, whoa, who comes out and says that? So I started reading the article, and basically she said that people such as Palestinians have no other option to riot because they are marginalized by Israel, drawings, and this drew swift outrage from Jewish advocacy groups.
Okay.
So she believes that injustice is a threat to the safety of all people during her discussion on Tuesday on Hot 97 on a rap station. One of my favorite stations when I lived in New York was Hot 97. All right, you know, Funk Master Flag, Funk Master Flag, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, but who comes out and says that? Like, riot. Like, we're trying to maintain peace in the Middle East.
So here's something that she says, and I'm going to read from the article. She says, once someone doesn't have access to clean water, they have no choice but to riot.
And so how is rioting going to get them clean water?
Thank you. And,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, and
am I throwing logic into her thoughts?
She likes to blame Israel for the fact that Palestinians don't have clean water.
How is that even?
It's not because you know what? Because Hamas, which is a party that they voted for, right? They're determined to annihilate Israel. Okay.
Yes. They
so whenever they've, that publicly, whenever right? exactly, so that you if you hear, do you guys watch Memory TV?
No.
So Memory TV is an organization that they bring out a video that is played out in the Muslim world, including Palestine, including in the Palestinian areas.
Okay.
And these are videos that show kids being trained. I'm talking about 5-6 year olds being trained and being taught these things on hating Jewish people. So here's my question. How is Israel supposed to negotiate with people who want their annihilation? How do you negotiate with those people? There's a difference between somebody saying, hey, we have a difference. Me and you, we have a difference.
I don't want your dog pissing on my lawn anymore.
But
how do we work that out?
Let's work that out. But now here's another difference.
I want you
Jeremy,
fucking dead.
I want you dead.
Yeah.
You don't negotiate with those people. And so when she comes out and says, well, the only means that they have to express themselves is to riot. Number one, she's justifying Antifa. That's what she's doing, right? She's saying, hey, people don't have recourse and therefore they're going to riot. That's her way of saying subtly, hey, Antifa is a legit group because now, you know, rioting is permissible as a way of expressing yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, she says it right here, but it doesn't have to be that way. I'm not even just talking about Palestinians. I'm talking about communities in poverty in the United States.
Antifa.
I'm talking about Latin America. Sorry.
Latina.
I'm talking about all over the world. Are you kidding me?
She really is
Holy
dumb.
Shit.
So she is speaking, like when people say she's a communist or she's social and she hates this country,
she's
comments like that.
Yeah,
she's ignorant.
Shows her ignorance that she does not love this country.
Yeah,
oh, the world, because when you're telling raise up.
Clearly.
So,
and then the radio host, hold on.
Go for it.
The radio host, he prompted the discussion by saying there are a number of corrupt governments lumping together Israel, the United States, Russia, and Saudi Arabia, which he claimed are working in concert. Okay, first of all, you live in the United States of America. You are on the radio and you can talk whatever you want. Because of the freedoms that are here. So when you want to talk shit about this country, go to Russia and try to do a radio show like that and talk shit about Russia.
They can't.
Right? And then, you know what this dummy fucking said? Sorry about the cursing. But he goes, he rants and says, there's white supremacist Jews and it's something most people can't wrap their brains around. Wait a minute.
How in the world are Jews white?
You are now twisting what... You're twisting history now, and you're basically saying that they're white, that Jews are white supremacists.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
They're
idiots. Like, they like people.
No, I'm gonna say this about the Palestinian struggle, because that's what they like to label it as. It's a Palestinian struggle to keep their land, and Israel is encroaching on them, and Israel has basically invaded. But hold on, let me finish my thought here. The Palestinians, okay, first of all, there's never in the history of Judeo in that area, Judea, there was never a history of Palestinians. That's a made up term, dude. There was never Palestinian people. They made that up. And so, but here's my thing: in everywhere in the world, whenever there's been a group of people who have taken over an area, Syria has been a great example. There's always been refugees, right? And the Muslim world has been full of people who are refugees. Christians in particular. Right now, there are no Christians in the Muslim world, okay?
They fled.
Why? Because they're being persecuted. Now, here's the thing. The Palestinians are surrounded by Muslim countries that have refused to take in any Palestinian refugees. You would think that Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Saudi Arabia would have taken them in because they share the same religion, which is a faction of Islam, which is Sunni, which they all share. But none of these countries came to the Palestinians' rescue and said, hey, we will take on these refugees. You know why they don't do that? Because to them, they hate the Jews just as much as the Palestinians do. And to them, they want that conflict to continue. Why? Because then they can portray Palestinian. Did you ever see that? They called it, oh my God, I forget the term that they use, but it was basically Palestinians faking injuries just so that they could be shown on camera and then blame Israel for the injuries. There was a camera recording, dude. I can show you this. This was in the early 90s or late 90s. And you would see these Palestinians. They would rush ambulances, right? Because what they would do is they would instigate Israel, basically. Okay. So they would instigate Israel, right? They would throw bombs and they would do this and that. And then Israel will eventually have to respond, right? Because Israel has to respond. They're protecting their people. And so then they would show these Palestinians falling on the ground and then faking it. And then there's these people, oh, ambulance, call an ambulance. And it's all staged, dude. It was Hollywood. And so there was a documentary that you should check out where these people were faking these things just so that they could show to the international community and see what Israel does. And it was all staged. So
I heard that's where Jesse Smollett got his
start. Yeah, that's where he got his start. Exactly. Mm-mm. Anyways, so that's all I have to. That's one of the things that I have to say about that is that this struggle that they call about the Palestinians, it's all made up, dude. And Israel fled. Why? Why did the United Nations give that piece of land to Israel? Because Jewish people have a history. And they show archaeological finds in Israel. I've been to Israel, and they have this museum of all these archaeological finds that they have. And there's literally so much Jewish history, Hebrew written on coins, things that they find. Where is the Palestinian history that goes back 2,000 years? It doesn't. It's not there. And so these people are trying to claim a piece of land that is not theirs. It's fake. And so that's what I say to that. So when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comes out in support of these people, this is why I say this is her way of justifying Antifa groups, people who are out to do riots. And look, I this is not original to me, but I'm going to use this term. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is like putting lipstick on a socialist pig. That's what she is. Mm-hmm. It is because you want to dress it some a new way, but it's not. It's the same old shit.
Yep.
It's the same old shit that killed all these countries that it has been perpetrators of millions of people being killed. Again, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Hitler, Venezuela, all so many.
Castro.
Yeah. People who have been hurt throughout history because of these ideas. And so she comes out and she's like, oh, I have a new approach. No, bitch, it's the same goddamn shit that has killed millions of people. So I don't take her seriously. She's an idiot, homie. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Come on, man. You know how it goes. Everybody has the same agenda, first, we're going to ban guns. Give up your guns.
No.
Right?
No.
Then, we're gonna give you free stuff. Oh, it sounds good.
Vote for me.
Okay, vote for me. I'm gonna give you free.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what? We can't afford. The state's gonna take over now. State media, state run this. Okay, I got you. And now what? You created shit. You created Venezuela, and it's a power struggle. They just want power and keep people down. I'm sorry. This is bullshit, and people are falling for it every day. But I think they're starting to realize. There's a little light bulb going off going, shit, I got a job. And now they want to take that money that I'm making, that $500 a week, they want to shrink that down to $200 a week? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. That's bullshit.
There's a video. There's actually a PragerU video. And I don't know if it's in a PragerU video or if something that Prager has said. And I listen to Prager all the time. You know this.
Yeah.
And so he says this all the time. And this again, this is Prager. But it's so true, dude. Listen to this, what he says. He says, if tomorrow Hamas and the Palestinians decided to put down their weapons and ask for peace, there would be peace the next day.
Yeah.
If Israel put down their weapons and ask for peace, and they would cease to exist
the next day. Yeah.
You don't negotiate with people who want your annihilation. And so what I say to Israel is, don't stop. Yeah. Don't stop, because they have a right to that land. They were made foreigners in many other lands. They were taken out of those places. This is why I call the Jewish people the canary in the coal mine, because look at every tyrant in history who has tried to conquer the world. They have started in one place, and that has been Israel. And so this is what I say. Don't let up. And so this is why I respect Donald Trump, because number one, he puts the embassy out there. And most recently, he accepted the Golan Heights. So the Golan Heights is northern part of Israel. It's just part of, I think it's Lebanon that borders that part of that part of Israel. It is. And they took over that piece of land because the Muslim world, as soon as the United Nations decided to give Israel that piece of land, the Muslim world decided, they were like, well, we can't accept this, because obviously they hate the Jews. And so what they did is they tried to take over. And so the Jewish people, they fought, obviously with the help of the United States, but mostly it was Israel. They fought and they took over lands. And they said, look, the piece of land that we have, we can't defend it unless we take over the Golan Heights, we take over the West Bank, and we take over parts of the Gaza. And so that now they left the little Gaza Strip, which is where the Palestinians are, and that's where their struggle is. But it's a little strip of land. Why doesn't Egypt take them and say, look, we accept all Palestinian refugees? They don't. You know, they could assimilate in these societies because they share the same language, they say the same religion, but they don't. Why? Because it benefits them to have a struggle.
So wait, they're refugees from this area that was taken over.
Yeah.
So there were Palestinians living in that area. Mm-hmm. It was basically given to the Israelis.
Israel.
And so the Palestinians that are living there are considered refugees.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they are not being accepted by Egypt and the countries around.
They don't want to accept them. They don't want to take them out. Now listen to how hypocritical this is.
Do they have to go? Can they stay in Israel?
Israel has allowed them to stay, but they decide to bomb Israel. They decide to create this chaos. And Israel is like, dude, look, here's the deal. We cannot have this.
Right.
Now
I've been
to Israel. I went to the parts of the West Bank where Jerusalem is, which is divided. You know, that whole old city of Jerusalem is divided. You know, there's the Palestinian quarters, there's the Jewish quarters, there's the Armenian quarters.
Right. So
it's all divided.
Palestinians are in there because the land was basically annexed, and they were living there at the time that it was annexed, so they just stayed.
Yeah, but Jeremy, let's look at the history of refugees, right? Recently, we had Syrian refugees, right? A lot of them came here, Somali refugees, Muslims who have been basically thrown out of their own land. And here is the Western world, right? The Western world opens up their arms to these refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, look, we can have a debate on whether or not we should accept them, but we are. But why doesn't the Muslim world accept their own Muslims? Why not? Why are there no Christians or Jews in the Muslim world? Nobody asks this question, right? Here is the Western world, open arms to all Muslim countries, but the Muslim countries can't accept the Palestinians. So here's the deal: we are signing our own invasion. Europe has signed.
Oh yeah, they're gone.
They
are invaded.
The Muslims are. They're procreating faster than the Europeans are, and in a matter of 20, 30 years, the Britain or United Kingdom that we know, the France that we know, the Spain that we know, all these countries, I don't think yeah. we. I don't think they're going to last.
It'll be World War III.
And hopefully America sees that and realizes this is the end of Western civilization.
Well, does America need to see it, or does Europe need to see it?
Look, whatever happens to Europe, you know, because what role we play, we're going to be the rescuers. We're going to be like, yes. Oh, we got to save Europe again. We got to go back to Normandy and save France once again.
Right.
But my deal is that I hope we see this before it comes to our own shores. Look, there's reports of Somali refugees of other Middle Eastern countries trying to make their way through the southern border of the United States. That's why it's pertinent that we, as a country, close that border, put up that wall. We got to determine what comes into our country.
Yeah. So it's funny that you mentioned that. You know, we always go back. We're always going back to the same thing, right? Look at Europe. When you tell these people, right? When you tell people that are all about open borders and let everybody in, right? When you talk to a lot of these people, I have friends like this, and they're like, "Oh no, we love everybody, right? This is wrong, and you're racist." And no, I'm not racist. Look at them. They're like, "Oh no, that's fake news. They don't report that. They're not. That's not real." Look, when I talk to people that are from Sweden, and they say there's a problem, mm-hmm. and it's killing off, you know, it's killing the nation, country, yeah. you know, the country. That there's a lot of hostility in there, but you will never see that on any of these news outlets because there's an agenda. There's an agenda to allow this takeover.
Right. Well, they
of all these countries. There's money being filtered in. I'm telling you.
Well, it's also a saving face, right?
So
these countries let all these people in. They can't turn around and you know, 2 years later go, "Oh, sorry, that was a mistake. We were idiots." You know, they have to save face in that, right? The governments just can't do that, right? I mean, well, they could.
It's almost every country.
Not to.
It's almost every country in Europe is having this problem, and now everyone's freaking out because everybody's starting to vote in a Trump type person. So I'm just saying, like, people got to wake up, and I think they are. I mean, you're seeing a lot. It's funny how everyone's like, "Oh, it's a blue wave, and people like Trump are never gonna be around again." Blah blah blah. And you're seeing from Australia. Australia was the first. The whatchamacallit? Australia turned red. They elected a quote unquote Trump type leader, prime minister in United Kingdom. They're new prime minister is hated because he sounds like Trump. Mm-hmm. Greece, Italy, there was somewhere else, and I was like, damn. But all these nations are starting to do this. So there's a problem. And the media is not reporting on it because the media has some hidden agenda. And case in point, this is how you know the media is fucked up. All right? And I'm going to use the word fucked because this is fucked. There's an immigrant in New York. Obviously, there's a lot of them. But there's this migrant man that was wearing a MAGA hat just the other day in New York City.
Oh, I saw you. You posted that on our site.
He was walking. He was walking in Canal Street, and he got jumped by, like, he said it was a bunch of kids. Right? He got jumped for wearing his MAGA hat. Right? This guy's face is swelled up. Yeah. He's got a fractured orbital bone, you know, and cheekbone and all that. Right? But they're saying, oh, his story doesn't add up. It's fishy.
Okay.
Jesse Smollett had like a little thing on it, and it was outcry. I got beat up by four white guys wearing MAGA hats, and it turned out it wasn't four white guys with MAGA hats. He staged the whole thing, and they were still saying, oh, the Trump's causing all this, and look what he's doing. He's causing people to do it. Right. But somebody physically gets assaulted, and people are saying that the story doesn't add up. Why didn't he go to the hospital? Why can't he recognize the people's face? If you got your head smashed into a wall, he said he got his head smashed into a metal, like a metal beam, right? They f***ed him up. And they go, you know what people were saying? Oh, it looks like he got into a confrontation with a person and not got jumped.
So right? I saw this video.
Holy
shit. I saw this video of Asian people who, I think they were actually here as tourists. And I want to say it's New York or somewhere. It was some big city. And you see these guys taking off their MAGA hats, right? Because these Asians, they were wearing MAGA hats. And so you see these two thugs, and they take off their hat, and they're throwing their hats up in the air. You know, where's the news? Where's CNN on the new age of racism, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they're silent because it doesn't fit the narrative. And so this is why, like, it's
all fake news.
Exactly. It's fake news. And so here we are.
ASAP Rocky. But case in point, ASAP Rocky.
Well, how does that correlate with this?
Well, you know, they smashed the phone.
That was,
and he's being held in jail because again, they were going after him.
Who was going after them?
They said Muslims,
yes,
right? So, exactly. And they weren't assimilating.
They were refugees in Sweden. Yeah.
And they, you know, the story of, I don't know what all the details are, but what we talked about.
You saw the video.
Yeah, but I mean, they were following him. They said, stop, stop, stop. And they kept going. So they broke the phone, but he goes to jail for breaking a phone and he's there for 3 weeks. And it takes the president of the United States to get him out of jail for his security guard breaking a phone because they were
right.
This is the first message that ASAP Rocky sends out. He thanks the Sweden courts. He doesn't thank Trump, right? Now he thanks
what?
All. He doesn't. He hasn't yet. I'm hoping that he will because he needs to, right? The president of the United States tweeted and reached out to Sweden so that Sweden would do something, and he hasn't thanked them. Now, if he doesn't thank him, he's an idiot. But do you know Megatron, right? We talked about him last time. So Megatron is planning an event where they're going to show up to ASAP Rocky's next performance. It's going to be here in the States. And he's gathering a group of people who are going to show up in all MAGA gear.
and America great
exactly.
Again.
And they're all going to show up to this event. And a lot of people are telling him, hey, dude, be careful because this crowd is not a MAGA crowd. You got to be careful. But this is why I tell you, dude, we are living in great times because the black culture is going to is becoming awake, especially with things like this. That's why Trump is smart, dude. And he knows what he's doing. Anyways, going back to this whole thing about, you know, here is Western civilization. We're accepting all these refugees with open arms, and yet the Muslim world, there's no Christians. Christians are the number one persecuted religion in the world. Nobody hears about this. Nobody hears about the massacres that happen in Africa, the massacres that happen in all Iraq.
You had a congresswoman, as much as she said it was probably an ill, you know, comment or it's taken the wrong way. She basically joked or made a, you know, she made reference to how 9/11 was like a, you know, wasn't a, you know, state, whatever she said. And I'm like,
she said, some people did something.
Yeah. This is,
some people did something. Ilhan Omar, when talking about 9/11, said,
but this is how it starts.
Some people did something. No, bitch. Fucking Muslim terrorist killed thousands of people. Not some people did something.
Yeah. They didn't fly planes into a building. It wasn't a drone strike. You know what I mean? Nobody called her out on it.
Nobody calls her out on this.
And Trump did, I think.
Well, obviously Trump's gonna, but what I'm talking about, the mainstream media.
No.
Right? And this is why
it's disgusting.
It is.
They're whitewashing history.
People I think are becoming aware. So there's this guy, his name is Brandon Straka. Okay, he showed up to Trump's rally this week in Ohio. Again, another stadium that was filled and overflowed, right? Trump keeps filling this up. Meanwhile, Joe Biden can't fill up a school gymnasium.
Dude, we're going on the third Democratic debate. No, we're going on the third debate, and only like 7 people make the cut now out of all those people because, dude, they have crazy rules. You have to have so many donors, how much money, and I'm like, huh?
I want to show you this video of this guy. This is a gay guy. He was at the Donald Trump rally, and he gives a speech, and he says something that should give hope to us who are on this side of the aisle, who are hoping for some type of change. And so I'm going to play this for you guys.
Never lose faith that people can change. If I can change, anyone can change. We can change and will change hearts and minds, and we will have peace in this country again.
This is the founder of the Walkaway Movement.
And in closing, I have a few words for the man himself. To President Trump, if you had never run for president, my eyes would never have been opened. I would still be a liberal. I would still fear and hate the Republican Party. I would still be a lemming, blindly following the fake news.
This is powerful, dude.
President Trump, it is disgraceful the hell that they have put you through, but you have taken it for all of us. Thank you for saving this country, and thank you for changing my life. Walk away!
Beautiful. I love it,
so,
man.
So what is the walk away?
So again, so this guy, Brandon Straka, it's similar to Blexit. So Brandon Straka is a gay conservative. Yeah. He voted for Obama.
Oh, a lot of people did. I would have voted for Obama.
So and he realized that the news media was lying. He actually came out with a video at the point where, and honestly, I don't remember at what point, but he came out with a video and said, "This is where I realized that the media was lying to me."
Yeah.
Right. And so he's made it a mission in his life, and he started the walk away movement, and which Twitter has tried to suppress, right? Because when this hashtag first came out, like, it blew up, dude. And there are so many people out there that are walking away, and he's one of them. And he gives this compelling speech, dude, at a Trump rally.
So, not to interrupt, but
go ahead.
The walking away—they're walking away from
the Democratic Party.
Yeah, okay. It says right, there. Yeah.
I just wanted to get that clarification out there.
You got to get on the hashtag.
Yeah, the hashtag walkaway campaign is a true grassroots movement founded by former liberal Brandon Straka. Mm-hmm. The walkaway campaign encourages and supports those on the left to walk away from the divisive tenets endorsed and mandated by the Democratic Party of today.
Right.
We're walking away from the lies and false narratives.
And that's all this. Look, if you look at the Democratic debates that happened this week, okay, all of them have moved so far left. They're literally socialists.
Yeah.
They're offering free everything, free school, free.
No coal.
A what?
No coal.
No
cool. You see Biden?
Oh yeah. And so these guys, they're moving all the way to the left. Yeah. They are calling for socialism and they didn't learn their lesson. They haven't learned their lesson. Show me one country that they like to point to, the Scandinavian countries, but a lot of these countries have come back and says Norway, Denmark, all these countries are coming back and they're like, we're not socialists, right? Yeah. They're like,
they're for world capitalism. Yeah. They pay high taxes. For
their social programs.
See, now, that's the shit that everybody gets wrong.
Here is something. Hold on, Tim. The reason they can enjoy, and this is what Trump has called them out on, Canada. You know, people like to point at Canada. Oh, Canada has free healthcare for everybody. Meanwhile, Canada hasn't had to pay for military in so many years. Why do you think Canada doesn't have to pay for military?
Because of the Big Brother. Because the United States of America.
Because if somebody showed up to their shores, you better believe we're going to protect them. Mm-hmm. So here's Canada. They don't have to spend for military. And they're like, oh, yeah, free everything. Well, free healthcare. Meanwhile, they have long lines, and Canadians come over here to get really
good. Still not free. I don't know where this free word keeps coming from.
The government-assisted healthcare, when you ask a lot of people that come from these countries, they all say the same thing. It's shit. Right. It's like going to urgent care. So, like, they usually go pay for the actual, the ones that have money, you know? Right. I mean, it's not that Canada's poor, but there's a lot of people that will go pay out of their pocket, or they go get real health insurance and go to a real doctor instead of the urgent cares to get. That's why there's so many urgent cares in this country now.
I have a friend of mine.
Because of that shit.
I have a friend of mine who's from Latvia, right? He moved out here. He married a friend of mine. And he's from Latvia.
Oh, he came out?
Yeah.
He's here now?
He moved out here and he has residency. He's about to become a citizen eventually.
Which we call his husband.
They're going
to
get him married, yeah. So this guy, I had a conversation with him about a year ago, more over a year ago. And we were talking about, you know, because he came from, you know, again, this is these Baltic countries, right? Who are able to offer their citizens free education and free all this, right? And so he was talking up the free education. He's like, yeah, I never had to worry about any education and all this and all that. And I'm like, well, then why don't you stay in Latvia? Why don't you stay there if it's such a great country? Oh, because there's no opportunities. Why do you think there's no opportunities? Why do you think this country has so many more opportunities that offers your citizens? You know why? Because their governments, what they do is they say, hey, we're going to offer you free education, Meanwhile, they believe it and they're like, oh, and this is what the government does. The government takes their wallet, pulls out their money and says, I'm going to give you free education. Let me get your wallet here real quick. You know why? Because they tax them. They overtax them on the back end. And so they don't want to live in a country where they're being taxed up to their necks, you know? And so honestly, when I was having this conversation with him, he's like, I didn't even think about that.
One of the other things that people don't realize is that, let's say you live in one of these countries and your 9-year-old daughter comes to you and says, I want to be an artist. I want to paint. I want to be a painter. I want to make works of art that hang on the wall.
Right.
And so the government's like, okay, well, we'll put you to art school, right? You know, why not? We're taking that money from your parents anyways. We might as well let you go to art school. Right. Well, once she graduates from art school 9 years later, they're like, well, you know what? We don't really need people to paint portraits, but the government building down the street, it needs a coat of paint.
Right.
Go to work.
Yep. Yeah, that's all it is. So they get the, and so here is the United States, right? This guy, he's got a degree in IT, actually. He's a programmer, and the United States is benefiting from the education that Latvia provided him.
Yeah.
And that's what I told him. It's like, by all means, come to this country, because you know what? We want people who have this type of education. But here's the problem. Latvia didn't benefit from what they gave, the education that they gave you.
They lose. And they double their taxes, and then they get, then they get poor, and then there's revolts, and then the takeovers, and blah, 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 blah. It's a vicious cycle.
So again, Trump goes out to NATO, and he says, all these Western countries, they enjoy the benefits of having the United States defend them against who? Russia, right? And so Trump says, wait a minute. You guys are not you're not even putting in your share that you promised that you were going to give when we made this NATO agreement. He's like, you need to provide and you need to. And so all these countries all of a sudden start giving. And then I guarantee they're going to realize, oh, well, we can't afford this and we can't afford that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, hello, you know, you can enjoy these socialist type governments for a short period of time, but you're not going to enjoy it for a long time.
Look at France, right? Everybody works for the government, right? Well,
Greece was
no. So France, because this was recent, right?
Remind me to tell you something about Greece. Go ahead.
So think about France, right? A lot of government workers, right? You know, there's a lot of government assisted programs, a lot of government workers. They go, oh, we're gonna increase the retirement age, dude. They almost took down the city,
yeah,
because of all the government. They couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it because because the government, you know, seems to be paying for 3/4 of the country's freaking, you know, jobs and retirements and everything. Dude. And it's like, dude, I can't afford this.
Yeah.
We're going to implode.
I saw this
system that doesn't work.
About Greece.
Greece.
And it said, Greece had so many government employees, so many, that they didn't have office buildings to house them all. So they were paying people to stay home.
Yeah. They were on the government dole, and they were told
stay home because there's where are you gonna sit? There's no desk for you.
Yeah. Well, you had a government job where they basically paid you to sit around.
Yeah. I
mean, at least you had a building.
I'm hoping Census 2000, homie.
I'm hoping with this red wave taking over Europe that it's gonna change some things, boost economies. Maybe you're not gonna get rid of a lot of the bad things that. A lot of the bad principles and bad programs that have been instilled because it's too much, right? But you got to figure out how to get away from some of that and say, hey, guys, here's opportunities, right? Because Europe seems to, like, love bashing corporations. They are anti-corporations over there, right? Well, all these antitrust laws and everything and their privacy laws, they're like the strictest freaking strictest countries in the world, you know, with this new GDPR and all that stuff. And I get privacy is very important. I mean, everybody's getting compromised all the time.
Right.
I mean, Capital One just had a big major hack through AWS's firewall and all that stuff. But anyway.
Oof, I thought we were going to talk about that.
No, it's all right. You know, nope. There's a million articles and there's news every day and there's another hack. But it's just crazy. Like capitalism works. We know it works. High taxes don't work. Socialist programs. Some of them sometimes work. You need a little. Look, this country is a capitalistic, socialistic society, right? We have capitalism with socialism, with socialistic programs. Medicare,
right,
Medicaid.
Okay, right.
Right.
It's a capitalist country with socialist programs.
Right. So these programs can work. It's when they get abused, right? If you, instead of saying welfare, say workfare. That's a beautiful, that Giuliani came, like, he wanted to implement this in New York and they freaked out on him and he couldn't do it. But it's basically like, look, if I'm paying you to sit at home, how about you go, I pay you to go to work. Oh, you can't do that. Bullshit. I should, they 100%. If you're getting my tax dollars, our tax dollars, I'm paying for you to sit at home eating bonbons because you, oh, I have a problem. Bullshit. There's a job that you could do out there. You know what? Yeah. Okay. You can't do a physical work. Okay. How about an office job? Oh, well, my back. Bullshit. Come on, man. I can come up with a million reasons. I can't sit at a desk all day. My legs hurt. I don't sit there.
I get a headache if I stare at my computer monitor for 4 hours, man, so I can't work in an office.
I heard the description. Of socialism, and this, again, this is not mine, but it encompasses socialism so well. And I'm going to read it. And it says, socialism, it's the impulse is never further away than human nature itself, because it pipes a tune seductive to the darkest elements of human nature, of the human heart. Envy, sloth, and pride. It relieves people of their shortcomings. You're not to blame. But it is the very idea that Obama, Elizabeth, all these socialists, all these guys who, Pocahontas and all them, talk about when they say that companies, that wealth that you think you, so remember when Elizabeth Warren said, hey, that company you created, that wasn't you.
Yeah,
I thought right? that was Obama. That said that.
Obama said it, but he was quoting Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, was he? Okay,
you didn't build that. Remember that quote?
Yeah.
While promising speedy solutions to problems that the better angels of our nature crave to see remedied. Right. This is what socialism is. Right. It pipes a tune, dude. That we all fall for. Right.
Pied Piper.
It sounds good.
Silicon Valley.
It sounds good on paper.
Yeah.
To say. You know, you're going to be taken care of. You're not to blame. Society has created you this way.
Yeah.
And this is why Judeo-Christian cultures, Western civilization is so pertinent to this time, because it's Western civilization that tells people your shortcomings are not the problem of everybody else. You can solve them. And you got to look at within you. You got to solve those problems on yourself. You got to struggle. Life is full of struggle. Life fucking sucks. But you know what? Strap your boots, pick yourself up, you fall down, and you gotta work. Work hard, and you can make it. And no other country has proven this far better than this country. Because you see immigrants coming to this country, and they can make themselves, they can make something of themselves if they only try. But when you tell people that the reason why you're poor, it's because there's a rich man out there taking away your money. You rob people of their ability to struggle for themselves and to make something of themselves.
Now think about this. Now think about this. Sorry. Think about the old school immigrants that came here, right? They took pride in this country because you know why?
Because they came here to work hard for this country.
Right. They left oppression. But when they got here, you know, they you know, like I always bring up the Italian story, but they thought America was paved with gold. No, they said, here's a shovel, go pave that shit and go get your gold, basically.
Yeah.
So you have a pride in you came to this country, you helped build this country, you made it great. So now when you want your government and your country to give you everything, you're ruining it. That's how you ruin the country. Yep. So when people say make America great again, I don't care if it's a Trump or whatever. It makes sense. This country needs to thrive.
Ronald Reagan actually coined the term make America great.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I did not know that. Anyway, so, you guys know Terry Crews?
Yeah.
Big, he's a football
player, muscular
guy.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
He's funny as hell. I heard an interview with him once, and he was discussing people talking about getting their fair share of the pie. I'm going to, you know, they're taking away my, you know, they have this attitude that basically the economy, the money in the system, whatever, is a piece of the pie, and they want to grab their piece of the pie. He's like, No. You don't go get your piece of the pie. You go make your own pie.
Exactly.
And you take all of that pie if you want it.
You know, I'm gonna say something now, and I'm gonna try to lay my thoughts out and be patient with me here, because it's gonna take about at least 2-3 minutes.
I was about to say it's gonna take it's 9:40. Okay, so about 10 o'clock you'll be done.
No. just hear me out on this, because when I heard this, it opened up my eyes, dude. And actually I heard this from a Guatemalan, she's a libertarian. but she's Guatemalan. And she said this so well, dude. Okay, so, and I'm going to modify it so for this discussion. So imagine caveman times, right? And you have caveman Tim, caveman Jeremy, and caveman Saul, right? And so here are the three cavemen, right? And caveman Saul one day, you know, we all go out, you know, we're struggling to go and kill, you know, and so that we can provide for our family, right? Okay. And so one day, caveman Tim, he's like, you know what, I'm not going to go this time. And caveman Jeremy and caveman Saul look at Tim and like, you're an idiot, bro. What you just going to stay home? But caveman Tim has an idea. Caveman Tim says, you know what, I'm going to develop some type of tool that's going to help me because I'm tired of just grabbing prey but with my own hands. And so here's caveman Tim. And what he does is he spends hours, a whole day, 2 days, 3 days. Meanwhile, his family's starving, right? But what does caveman Tim do? Caveman Tim develops a tool. He breaks off a branch and he sharpens one of the corners and he throws it and he's like, man, from a distance, I could catch prey. Okay? Just hear me out. And so here's caveman Tim and he throws this and he realizes that as he's practicing, he's able to hit his target. So on the fifth day, caveman Tim goes out and then caveman Saul and caveman Jeremy see him and like, oh, bro, you finally decided to show up. You know, caveman Saul and caveman Jeremy take 8 hours to catch something. Meanwhile, here's caveman Tim and he catches three things within 1 hour. And he goes home and he goes home to his wife and he's like, look what I brought. And his caveman wife is like, oh my God, panties baby, you look exactly right. And
you
so
sexy. Panties on the floor.
And so, you know, now he's able to spend more time with his kids. Now he's able to spend more time with his wife. He's able to pursue things that he wants to pursue. And here comes caveman Nelson and he's like, Tim, fuck, tell me what you're doing. What's your secret, man? And caveman Tim tells him,
give me your wife.
Look, fuck you, bitch. Caveman
forget
Tim,
her, give me your daughter.
Caveman Tim tells him, look, give me 2 days of your catches and I'll tell you my secret. And so caveman Saul says, this is worth it. Yes, here, have it. And caveman Tim makes him the same weapon that he created for himself. And so now caveman Nelson or Saul goes out and he can now do the same thing, spend less time trying to go catch the prey. And now he's able to spend time with his family and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Caveman Jeremy comes to caveman Saul and says, bro, you got to tell me your secret. What the hell is going on? What's the secret? So caveman Saul says, go talk to caveman Tim. Same deal. Gives him 2 days worth of hunt. And so here's caveman. You know, let me just
price
finish.
Has gone up to four times. Let me, 4 days.
Let me finish my story. So, caveman Tim no longer has to work. Why? Because news is getting around. And so here he is, and he's giving everybody his secret. And so now he's just sitting, and you know what he can do? He can go sit way above in the mountains, and he can be the big man. And because why? Because everybody's coming to him and saying, "Look, you don't have to work anymore. I'm going to give you what you got to do so you can teach me." Okay? Now, this is capitalism, okay? So the moral of the story is this, is that the wealth that caveman Tim created for caveman Saul, caveman Jeremy, and everybody else is tenfold. Why? Why?
Because he showed him.
Because he made the sacrifice and he spent his time trying to develop something that was going to help everybody else. The time that caveman Tim saved for Saul and everybody else, imagine those 8 hours now crunched down to 1 hour because of a tool that he was provided. Everybody sees the wealth of caveman Tim now because they see him and, oh, he's sitting in the mountain like a big man and he has all this wealth and he's taken away from the poor. They don't see the wealth that caveman Tim created for everybody else. And this is the hidden value that struggle has. Now, let's look at it today in modern world. Let's take one company. Let's say Microsoft, okay? Microsoft, one tool, okay? People look at Bill Gates and says, oh, he's got $50 billion. I don't know how much he's worth now. But let's say he's $50 billion, his wealth, right? People look at the wealth that Bill Gates has, but people don't look at the value that Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft PowerPoint has provided to all these companies who are now, they no what was the original word processing? How long did that take?
Word perfect.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. How much time was saved? How much money was saved? How much wealth was created? And this is just one product. People don't look at the underlying wealth that's created. Now, hold on. I want to finish my point, Tim, which is this, is that when you look out in the world, okay, the same amount of resources that were on this earth 4,000 years ago are the same amount of resources that are there today. There was no printing of money. There was no nothing. There is no dividing of the pie. You know what there is? There is wealth creation. And what creates wealth is hard work, is focusing on yourself and saying, how can I make my life better? When you make your life better and when you provide a product for somebody that can make their life better, not only are you enriching yourself, you're enriching somebody else. So when people talk about a pie, when Bernie Sanders talks about a pie and he says, the billionaires and millionaires, they're taking all the money, you lack the understanding of how the fucking economy works, because you look at the economy as if it were a pie, as if there's a finite amount of wealth in the world. There is no finite amount of wealth in the world. You know why? Because there's endless resource in this planet that we have not tapped into. And so I know I'm getting preachy, guys, but this is something that needs to be said. And people don't see this. People don't understand how the economy works. The economy is not a pie. Wealth is not split up. Wealth is created by hard work. And sorry, go ahead, Tim.
No, I was agreeing with you, homie. I mean, think about it. Like, Bernie Sanders, he don't even pay his damn freaking employees. So Bernie Sanders 100% knows how this thing works. But Bernie Sanders doesn't want to see people get ahead. See, you got to remember, Bernie Sanders for a long time, he had his little district that he always won, and people always thought he was crazy. But now everybody, he's grown and grown and grown because his message is getting to younger and younger people. And the more and more they're seeing in school and college, and it's being preached that rich people are bad, white people are this, and, you know, all this, fuck the rich and fuck the religious people and screw everybody. And I'm going to give you this. He grew in power. It's bad propaganda. Yeah. And the only way you can get rid of this is you have to vote these people out. You have to basically cut the head off the snake.
Right.
And hopefully two don't grow like Hydra.
They're cancer.
They're cancer. I don't say annihilate, sorry.
So it used to be in this country where, you know, a father would be walking down the street with his son and they would see Mr. Johnson drive by in his Bentley, right? And his dad would say to him, you see that guy right there? That's Mr. Johnson. He built a company. Right. He earned that money. He got that car. He worked hard for that. When you grow up, if you work hard, you can have that same thing.
Yep.
Today, the dad's walking down the street with a kid and Mr. Johnson rocks by. They're like, let's grab a rock and throw it at the car.
Fuck, man.
That is the way the attitude has changed.
Yep.
It's wrong. But it's just wrong, dude. Like,
it is wrong.
It's a bad mentality to have because basically when you get into the, because now you get into the workforce. And you look at that CEO and you feel like you have the balls to go to him and be like, no, I want your job. No, you can't run a company. You can't.
Right.
We all have this idea like, oh, you look at certain people in positions like, oh, there's a lot of people that are in positions they can't. There's a lot of people that are quote unquote managers that shouldn't be managers maybe in this world. But maybe they're good at managing people, but they're not leaders. See, if you want to be successful, you got to have good leaders. Good leaders doesn't mean a title. Right? A good leader is by actions and what you do and making everybody else around you better. If you're not making people around you better, you're not leading. You're not leading. You're keeping them down. Like that, to me, that's socialism. Socialism does not allow for people to be better. Right?
There's no incentive for someone to be better.
Right. Mm-hmm. When that guy told his kid, see that? You work hard, you can get that. Right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people felt like that story, after a while, they were sold a bag of dicks because they felt they worked so hard and they never got that Bentley. But what they didn't realize is there's sacrifice. Hold on. Mr. Johnson wasn't going to the bar every night spending $5,000, you know, what we all do. Spending $400 or $500 every time we go to the, you know, a month going to the bar. He was taking that $400 or $500, putting it away into something that was making him money.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you have to make that sacrifice. And once you realize that, and I'm talking to you two, you know, young kids right here that do our video and sound. Yeah, it's great when you go to the bar and you piss money away. We've all pissed so much money away going out. But what has it really gotten us? You know, some fun memories, maybe late. We got laid over it and whatnot. Woke up with some bad hangovers, threw up. But
Tim got laid.
But at the end of the day, are you really progressing? When you say, oh, I didn't create nothing and I hate every rich person. No, save your money. That's why they always say the richest people are usually the cheapest. They know what to spend their money on, you know?
Yep.
They don't go buy a $500,000 car when you don't only make $1,000 a week, right. You know?
Yeah.
It's just
I think I was reading Warren Buffett still driving the car that he's been driving for 25 some years.
Well, that's just crazy.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's not a, wealth is not something that you, like you said, you piss away. A lot of these people live within their means, right, or live comfortably, but they don't misspend their money. And that's great advice to anybody, right? Especially if you want to retire young, you got to make sacrifices. It's not about, see, what happens is with socialism, they blame outside forces to your failures, right? Yep. You have shortcomings because of the white man. You have shortcomings because of the rich. You have shortcomings because of corporations. And when you do that, you're telling people that your wealth is outside of your control, and you lie to people. You can be, anybody here living in this country can become successful, can become great if you put in the sweat, you put in the tears, right. You sacrifice. That's the ultimate message of capitalism. Why? Because, so I heard this saying. And this is from Milton Friedman. He was challenged by somebody, a young Michael Moore, who asked him and said, you know, companies are greedy, right? Companies are in it for themselves. And that's true, right? But tell me what company. In other words, if I am Corporation X, okay, and I'm selling you a product, okay, and if I sell you a shitty project, do you think I'm going to be in business for a long? No, I'm not. Yes, I'm greedy. Why? Because I want to get rich. But if I sell you a shitty project, nobody's going to buy it. So it is in my best interest to make a good product where you buy it, right? Because it benefits you, right? That's capitalism. Is I create a great product that people can buy. If I create a shitty project, nobody's going to buy it. I'm not going to be able to line my pockets with good money, right? That's just how capitalism is. But socialism is the opposite. Socialism says from each according to their ability, to each according to their need, right? That's what socialism says. And so socialism is going to tell you, you're going to do this job regardless of whether you're good at it or you're not. Socialism is going to determine what you're going to do. And that is a failure for any society. I know you're going to say something. Jeremy, go ahead.
No, I don't remember what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry. We know we cut you off a lot. Fine. Anyways, I think we've...
This
conversation, it was a great conversation. It needed to be happening. Anybody have anything else? Heidi's going
to come up.
I know, Heidi, you...
I had good topics this time. Whatever, you big jerk.
You big jerk.
All right, folks. I think we've exhausted this conversation. It was good. We'll catch you all next time. Find us in the social medias. Tim is starting to post a little bit more.
Don't be. No.
Tim is posting daily now.
The crew is posting daily.
Tim is our social media savant here.
Yeah.
Hey, no. Hey, so anyways, catch you all next time, and stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Adios.